Welcome to the Portland Legacy Music. I'm your host, Robert Davis. And for the audience today, I'd like to talk about what our show is all about. This is our second broadcast for 2026. And what we do is live interviews and other factual information from bands and from musicians and from sound people and from everybody in the music industry who has been playing in and around Portland for over 20 years plus. That also sort of includes our current interviewee, who is going to be Jake Blair, and he has a band of three people himself, a bassist and a drummer, which I failed to get their names, but I will during the interview process, I promise. In any case, without further ado, I'm going to ask Jake to come to the microphone and see what we have to say.
And with me tonight is John Chinberg on bass and Denny Ayers on drums. And we're going to be starting off with one of my tunes. It's called Galaxy. It's about my first car when I was 16. Got a nice bright red 66 Ford Galaxy 500.
Oh, sounds like a wonderful machine to me.
Absolutely. Let's hit it.
Got a big red car with the pussy dice on the man. Got a big red car with the pussy dice on the man. I'll bring my baby along. Galaxy, I treat her real good, cause that's how she treats me.
So was that really your car? Did you really own a Galaxy?
I have photographic evidence. Yes, it was there.
Do you really? Oh, wow. So what color? It was red?
Yep, red. Great baby moon rims, metal flake on the paint. It was fantastic. Unfortunately, I got T-boned in it when I was about 17, but I had one good year. I had one good year with her.
Yeah, okay. So are you going to play us another tune?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's We'll slow it down a little bit. This one's called Spellbound.
All right. Let's listen.
Day after day, I grow tired of the same. I could lose my mind if I keep killing the pain. The hills have been leveled, the valley's been filled. I see it's far too soon for my fate to be sealed. Just hold me. Promise to keep me spellbound. Tell me when you make me high, I never have to come back down. And I watch the chain break as the fuse starts to burn. My life passes by as I wait for my turn. Suddenly questions are answered with pride. I feel so damn good with you here by my side. Just hold me. Promise to keep me spellbound. Tell me when you make me high, I never have to come back down. Lately I'm feeling so lost and alone. Can't find a body, can't find my home. Just when I think I got nothing to show, I see that you're calling. Catch me when I'm falling. Yeah. I grow tired of the same. I could lose my mind if I keep killing the pain. The hills have been leveled, the valley's been filled. I see it's far too soon for my pain to be sealed. Just hold me. Promise to keep me spellbound. Tell me where. Make me high, I never have to come back down. Baby, when you make me high, I never have to come back down.
Portland's musical landscape extends far beyond a single genre. Soul musicians like Liv Warfield, who performed extensively in local venues, have brought extraordinary talent to the forefront. Her powerful performances at venues like the Alberta Rose Theatre highlighted the depth of Portland's musical talent. Country and Americana artists have also found fertile ground in Portland. Bands like Richmond Fontaine, led by Willie Vlotten, have created narratives that capture the essence of Oregon's musical soul. Their performances at venues like the Doug Fir Lounge have become legendary among local music enthusiasts.
So, Mr. Jake, let me ask you, so what are you coming back from or coming down from?
Well, you know, I was at a low point, kind of. Things were tough, and, you know, I looked at my guitar, and really, I mean, everybody that hears that song thinks, oh, he wrote that about a girl, you know?
Well, that's what I was thinking, but yeah. I guess I'd be wrong too, right?
But it was actually about the guitar I'm holding right now, my first Strat.
Oh, wow.
2001 Texas Special. Yeah.
2001 Texas Special. You have any work done on that guitar?
It's gone through a couple fret jobs. Yeah, it's been dropped a few times. Got some work done for sure, but yeah, she's hanging in there for sure.
So are we going to call it Lucille?
You know, I never named it. I kind of toyed with some names. Maybe Vera. If it was going to be named, it'd be Vera.
Yeah. Okay. So are you going to play us another tune?
Yeah, let's do it. This one's called Plenty of Fish.
All right, let's listen.
And we're going to go into a little Kenny Wayne Shepherd midway through.
Okay.
Driven by the chair,
calling out my name. I'll toss and turn, I can't sleep. Your kiss burns through my dreams. Here it comes again, I don't stand a chance. Soul possession deep in a trance, calling me back, back to you. Deja voodoo, deja voodoo.
Riff, I'm telling you, man.
Well, thank you, guys, you so much. Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely. So I was at one of your shows. You were at the Oregon Hotel, I think, in McMinnville. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. McMinniman's Hotel Oregon, right there on historic 3rd Street. Beautiful, beautiful venue, beautiful city.
Yeah. So how have you played there before, or was that just a one-off, or what?
I have played there so often, they actually have a hotel room named after my band. And I'm not even kidding. It's the Jake Blair Band Room. If any of you listeners find yourself walking through McMinnville, feel free to check it out, the Jake Blair Band Room. Don't be creeped out by the picture of my face painted on the wall as you're trying to sleep. But no, it's really cool. It's an honor. It's a huge honor.
Oh, my God. I would guess so. It's like having your own hospital wing or something.
Oh, yeah. Right. You know, maybe a few less ghosts, I suppose. But
okay. So you got me really intrigued now, buddy. Tell me how it is that you got your own room.
So when I first started playing, I was 13. And my first show was at Hotel Oregon up in the Maddie's room there. And so me and Matt Seymour, who was 12 at the time, we had the Boys of Blues, you know, which turned into the Jake Blair Band.
Oh,
and
yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, we played there for years. And it was always a packed house there in Maddie's room at Hotel Oregon. And somebody there with the company got the idea, let's do a Jake Blair Band room. There's all the rooms in the hotel are themed. So, yeah, they picked us, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really super cool.
Oh, wow. Fabulous. Well, okay. So that burns up another few minutes of our airtime, but are you interested in playing another tune for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's play some Gary Moore. To be so easy to give my heart away, I found out the hard way, there's a price you have to pay. I found that love was no friend of mine. I should have known. But I still got the blues for you. Used to be so easy to fall in love again. I found out the hard way, it's a road that leads.
the pain. I found that love is more than just a game. You play it to win, but you lose just the same. So long, it was so long ago. The blues for you. So many years since I've seen your face. Here in my heart, there's an empty space where you used to be.
You guys just rock, I'm telling you.
Well, thank you.
You are definitely my kind of music, and I hope the listeners are enjoying it too, because you guys are rocking. Hey, Mr. Jake, why don't you introduce your band members by giving their names and what it is they do and how long they've been playing with you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. We got John Chinberg on the bass tonight. I've been playing with John for, gosh, at least 15 years, probably closer to 20. John plays in a ton of bands. He's in the Flextones, to name one. And then we have Denny Ayers on drums. I've known Denny since I was a kid, and just great drummer. He's played with a bunch of bands, too. Played all the time with Gary Burford. You've probably seen him playing in the past with Gary, rest his soul. And no, great rhythm section, great friends. Nothing but good things to say.
Sounds like you guys got it going for sure. And at the bottom of the hour here, at about 8:30, we're going to have you guys transition to the Studio 2, where we can do some real honest-to-goodness interviewing of your band and you. So, but in the meantime, you got another 10 or so minutes to play us some more tunes, if you're willing.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
All right.
Yeah, this one's called Change My Mind.
Heavy rock beat. Thank you.
changed my mind. 'Cause you're so fine, you are so fine. Nothing's gonna change my mind. 'Cause you're so fine, you are so fine. Make me lose control of myself. Take away my money and my health. Spread the ashes, dig my grave, 'cause I'm not changing anyway. Nothing's gonna change my mind, 'cause you're so fine, you are so fine. So fine, you are so fine. Lock me up with one taste of your lips. Make me beg for one more deadly kiss. Keep me coming back for more. I'm knocking on the devil's door. Yeah.
Another fine job there, Mr. Blair.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, all best laid plans of mice and men. I was looking at the wrong clock when I thought you had another 10 minutes to play. Well, I'm sorry, but you have time for one more song if you want to make it your best song. And
well, I don't know if it's my best one, but, you know, I think it's pretty good.
All right. Well, introduce it, and we'll take a listen.
Okay, perfect. Let's just go traditional blues. That's kind of one of my things here. It's called I Want It Back.
Well, I'm so tired, been up too long, just singing about how you did me wrong. I miss the good times, I miss your love, I want it back. I worked so hard just so we could play. I never thought that I'd see this day. I miss the good times, I miss your love. I want it back. There's nothing I can say to make you change your mind. It's so hard to give you space. It's so hard to give you time. I'd do anything to hold you and for you to want me to. What happened to that spark, babe? I haven't got a clue.
I want it back. And you know, I recorded that on a little Boss BR-600, and I've gotten airplay on that tune before, so I like that one.
Yeah, I do too.
Hope everybody out there in Radio Land did as well.
Sorry about being late. I was making adjustments in the other room for you guys to migrate to for the interview, so I will say adios to you playing at the present time, and do a station ID, and we will be back for sure. You're listening to Community Supported KBOO Portland since 1968 at 90.7 FM, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, and streaming online at kboo.fm/listen-now. As a listener-supported nonprofit, it's our members who keep us on the air with your ongoing donations. So please continue to support us by going to kboo.com/donate or text KBOO to 44321 to donate now.
Portland Music Insider is your all-access pass to the heartbeat of Portland's legendary music scene. Broadcasting straight from the city that's been rocking for decades, we spotlight the local legends who've been making Portland, Oregon sing for over 20 years. We don't just play music, we tell the stories behind it. Through exclusive interviews with long-standing Portland musicians, we bring you raw, real conversations about their journey, their craft, and the city that shaped their sound. Between interviews, you'll hear the music that built the scene, from gritty dive bar rock to smooth jazz, from punk energy to soulful blues. And because the scene is still alive and thriving, Portland Music Insider also keeps you in the know with up-to-date info on who's playing live around town, upcoming shows, and can't-miss performances. If you love real music with real history, tune in and turn it up. Portland Music Insider, where Portland's past, present, and future take the stage.
So, we're back. We're with Jake Blair Band. And Mr. Jake here, and as soon as I get their microphones opened up here right now, Hello, gentlemen. How's everybody over there doing?
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Doing great.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, Mr. Jake, you want to do the introductions again, please, one more time?
Sure, yeah. My name's Jake Blair. You were just listening to the Jake Blair Band. With me was John Chinberg on bass.
And hey there.
Denny Ayers on drums.
Hello.
And, yeah, we're just so happy to be here on KBOO, and thanks again for having us. What a great time.
Oh, yeah, you're more than welcome. So, let me ask, we were sort of into the weeds here about your playing and your chops, so why don't you just continue with a little bit for our audience as to what exactly your chops are like and who are your influences and who you became.
Well, I mean, first off, I'd like to say that, for one, I am very good. I'm probably one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. but seriously, I've been playing since I was about 10 years old. So 30 long years I've been playing guitar, and grew up listening to a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan. My parents had great taste in music, and they raised me right, listening to Stevie, Albert King, Buddy Guy, all the greats. But of course, you know, when I was about 10, I was listening to Metallica, you know, Soundgarden. That was really, I liked blues, but I wanted to play rock and roll. So I asked my grandpa Don, hey, will you teach me how to play guitar? He strummed cowboy chords and had an acoustic guitar. So he got me started, showed me some chords, and I just took to it. And, you know, learning Metallica songs and all that, like kids do. And, yeah, from there, started playing professionally, formed a band. And, you know, it's, talking of chops, you're always honing your craft. You never get to an end point. There's always a next rung to get, and you know, so that's what I'm doing now. I'm always learning, always trying to pick up new stuff, listening to everything I can.
Absolutely, yeah, sure. So let me ask you, or should I say, your bass player?
Hey.
You are here.
I'm here.
And we are at KBOO in the live radio station here. And tell us about yourself and your chops and your influences and a little bit more about yourself.
Well, right on. I'll start by just saying a big hearty thank you. Being here on KBOO is just an honor. And getting to play with Denny and Jake is just big fun for me. I'm a bass player. I'm also a drummer, longtime drummer in the Mid Valley area. I played back east for a while, played in the Bay Area, played in Los Angeles, but settled up here, raised kids, married, and all that stuff in the Northwest, where I grew up. And I grew up listening to bebop. My dad was a straight ahead jazzer. He was also a band director. So I started off with piano lessons and played brass, played drums on the side, but then just kept on playing drums. And then in high school went into progressive rock and never really got into the hair bands, and then discovered the joys of hip-hop and house music and Afro-Caribbean and just a whole bunch of other styles of music to kind of round out my musical palette. But I really do owe it all to my parents, my father especially, for getting me started in music.
The hair bands. Now, I haven't heard that term in a long time.
Yeah, well, that was what actually got me down to Los Angeles. I was doing pretty good gigging in San Francisco, and a buddy of mine was second engineer at Cherokee. And if you know Cherokee Studios in Hollywood in the 90s,
oh,
you know,
absolutely,
that's where all the mega hit hair bands, Rat and Metallica, and everybody was recording their vinyl back then, and then moving into compact disc. And I wanted in on that. I didn't get it. I went out and had to join show bands, go to Vegas to earn the rent on my apartment in Los Angeles, and going back and forth between LA and Las Vegas to make ends meet. So I didn't really get into that era, and genre, but gosh darn it, it wasn't for lack of trying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I'm sorry, I missed your name in the...
Okay, I'm John Chinberg, and I've had the band The Flextones in the Salem Mid-Valley area for many years, since the mid-90s.
I see. And that band is current or is non-existent?
Oh, no, we're still out playing. Somebody calls me up, and by golly, I'll go out and I'll play their show. It's a lot of fun.
And you say it's The Flextones?
The Flextones, yeah. Check us out, www.theflextones.com. Sorry, Jake, had to do my own promo.
No, that's all right.
Jake
understands, you know. So are you sitting next to that drummer guy?
He's right across from me. Let's talk to him.
Yeah, so Mr. Drummer, introduce yourself. Tell us about yourself and your chops and your influences and how you wound up a drummer.
Thank you. My name's Dennis Ayers. I'm an Oregonian, and my chops are pretty modest, to be honest. I feel like at some point in my life, I started listening to the blues, and it gave me some inspiration for the feel that I wanted to produce more than for, you know, wanting to play flashy. And so I try and play what meets the music. My influences are electric blues bands. When I was going to college, I was a music major for a couple years, and a local band put a note in my mailbox at the School of Music at Oregon State, and they said, "We're looking for a drummer." The teachers here at the School of Music gave us your name when we asked, and here's a tape of the kind of things we play. It had a bunch of Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix on it, and I was not that well-versed in the blues, but I was like, I would love to play this stuff, and I joined the band, and I've been playing the blues mostly ever since then. I'm honored to play with Jake. I played with him. You know, he started playing out in his early teens. I didn't play with him until he was 21, I think. But he's always been that guy with the musicality. He used to kind of bust my chops about tempo. he wouldn't let me drag at all, and he wouldn't let me rush at all. He would just give me one of those looks.
I run a tight ship.
He really does. He always has. I think he's loosened up a little bit, but I think I've also gotten a little bit better at staying on the meter.
Fair to say we met in the middle, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can definitely go with the flow way more than I could back then, you know?
It's, I agree.
Like you adjust to what the groove is sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You guys sound like you are a finished group now. You guys have been playing together for a period of time. Isn't that correct, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Denny and I have been playing for probably, 20 years or more.
Probably.
And pretty close to the same with John, I would say.
That's right.
So, Jake, it's a trio. Is that always what the Jake Blair Band is a trio?
Most of the time, yeah. But sometimes I like to throw in a keyboard. Nathan Olson joins me sometimes out of Salem. You know, maybe some horns once in a while, you know. If the gig pays enough, let's add some more people.
There's the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like Michael used to say, he'd always beat up on the club owners to see if he could add some horns to the band.
Gotta have horns.
And Michael's a big horn fan for sure. So let me ask you, Mr. Jake, how do you prepare for live performance, and what do you enjoy most about playing live?
Well, you know, in preparation, I mean, it's just, you know, I go through my checklist. Do I have my guitar? Do I have my amp, my bag? And do I have enough time to get there? And I mean, really, I've been doing it for so long. It's kind of just, you know, a subconscious thing I don't have to think about too much. But the thing I like about playing the most, I love when the audience is into it. You know, it kind of, that energy builds. You know, between me and my guitar, the band, you know, when the audience is into it, it's tangible, you can feel it. And it makes me play even better. It just raises the energy. But if the audience is not into it, I still try, you know, that's, for me, that's the mark of a really good musician. You play your heart out and you give every ounce you have.
Absolutely.
And regardless and if there's one person or a million.
And sometimes the room is full and sometimes it's not, you know?
Yep. And so I'm okay either way.
Speaking of audiences, what in your mind comes to of one of the most responsive audiences?
Oh, I would say probably at the Waterfront Blues Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Back in...
folks there.
Yeah, yeah. There was a few there. Yeah. I think it was 2001. I was 15. Played the Waterfront Blues Festival.
And How many times you played there?
I played there twice.
Twice?
Yeah. And, standing ovation, just wild, wild crowd. It was awesome.
Oh, man, you know that's a big venue, too.
It's fairly large.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I have another question for you, Mr. Jake. Many fans associate the Jake Blair Band with your authentic style of music. How do you keep the crowds engaged night after night when you're playing out?
Well, you know, I mean, it's all improvisation, honestly. There's some pieces of a song that we have worked out, but I would say easily 98% of what we play is improvisation, and you never know what you're going to get. So that keeps it fresh a little bit. I like to throw in motifs, little, you know, small musical jokes in my playing, a theme song here or there, just something to, you know, make somebody's ears perk up. Wait, what was that? Was that? And sometimes people even get the joke, which is cool too.
So we were talking earlier, and you mentioned something about a club burning down around you. What's the story on that?
Well, yeah, that was wild. I was, I think it was my 21st birthday actually, and I was playing at a place called the Landmark in Yahats. It's not there anymore. It didn't burn down that night. That's not why it's not there anymore.
Oh, okay. But,
So we had Rick Parnell drumming for us, and Rick was in the movie Spinal Tap. He had a small role in that movie. He was the drummer that exploded. So there was a hotel type thing, motel room thing above the bar that the band could stay at. And all night, Rick was just getting more and more kind of inebriated by the end of the night. His head was hanging down, and he's not even looking at me. But I'd count off the tune, and boy, he'd raise the sticks and he'd play. So anyway, we finish out the night. Lots of people, great night, and we all go to sleep upstairs. And I wake up to my friend saying, "Jake, there's a fire. We got to get out of here. There's smoke everywhere." Well, I was kind of tired and fell back to sleep. So a second time, my friend came, "Jake, we got to get out of here. There's a fire." And then I got up, crawled through the smoke, and as I'm crawling across the floor to the exit, Rick Parnell is standing in the open window in his underwear, waving a curtain out the window, and saying, "It's all right. It's all right. I put it out. It's over." So we got the smoke cleared a little bit, and there was a boombox on the oven on the stovetop. And I look and I'm thinking, oh, I'm somebody leaned over and bumped the knob and turned the burner on, right?
Oh.
That wasn't it. The bottom of the CD player was completely intact. Jimi Hendrix Band of Gypsies was inside the CD player, a boombox thing, and it melted from the inside. It caught on fire. The inside of that boombox was completely melted, and there was smoke everywhere. We got downstairs, and there was soot trails on our nostrils from what we were breathing. So it was wild. Very memorable night. A lot of good blues, a lot of good rock, though.
So you burned the place down, right? Sorry.
Yeah, almost literally.
Oh, boy. What about you other guys in the band? You got any tales to top that one?
Oh, stories for sure.
John, you got a good story like that?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I think one of my favorites is it was the incident that didn't happen, and that's what made it so funny. We'd, down in Los Angeles area, you'd have to play an hour and a half, 2 hours away from L.A. in order to play the bigger clubs of the Inland Empire, San Bernardino and Barstow and so on. And pulled over with a buddy one time in the middle of the night, coming back from the gig. He was just so exhausted. I was driving the van, and I just happened to pull in. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Might have been around Norco, California, or something like that. And pulled in front of a brick building, and buddy was asleep. But when we pulled in and parked, I kind of got a little shut-eye. And as I woke up, he didn't realize that I'd pulled the car over, and he didn't realize that we were parked. And so when he woke up, he saw a brick wall right in front of us, and he thought that I was driving. I was about to impact with a brick wall. And so, yeah, he screamed like a little girl, and it was all very funny because of the moment he woke up. Now, that doesn't compare to burning down a hotel room, but I that might be the best I got. And Jimi Hendrix, unfortunately, played no role in my story, so I feel especially bad now. I'll show myself out. Thank you.
You got anything for us?
Oh, well, the only thing that comes to mind is I'm also a kind of a mid-valley musician down from the Salem area, and I used to play for a couple decades or three decades with a Salem cat named Gary Burford, rest in peace. And he turned around one night while we were playing at a local club, and he pulled out a little squeeze bottle of fuel for cigarette lighters, and he sprayed it on my crash cymbal, and then he lit it on fire with his lighter.
Holy cow.
Oh, man.
It was kind of a cool visual thing, but I was really shocked. And the thing about that is when that happens, if you hit the crash cymbal, it activates all the molecules, and the flames go up in the air really high. It was, you know, wild the first time. And then he just started doing that all the time. And we would get into this, like, I couldn't appease him. He would light my cymbal on fire for no reason in the middle of the night, and I would hit the crash cymbal to try and burn off the fuel, but the more I hit the crash cymbal and the higher the flames got, the more Gary would just keep squeezing butane onto the crash cymbal, and I couldn't hit it enough to burn off the fuel. It just got to be a thing. Oh. We got fired for that from one place.
That sounds like Gary.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
You guys are a riot, that's for sure.
Did he buy you any cymbals?
No, same cymbals I was playing today.
They
can handle it.
Wow. Yeah, all right. That brass is tough.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where can people in the KBOO radio listening audience come see the Jake Blair Band live?
Yeah, well, so we'll be playing July 11th. At Eminent Domain, just outside of Newburgh. You can find that online, July 11th at Eminent Domain. And you can find my schedule just on Facebook. Search the Jake Blair Band, and you can find me there. If you have a house party or you're a venue that's looking for some great live music, please feel free to send me a message.
It's only money, folks.
That's right.
Just pull out the wallet and give it to these guys. It's worth it.
So I will also be playing with another band called the Carlton Blues. I'll be playing with them on August 4 for National Night Out in Carlton. And I'll be playing with Carlton Blues again on August 15 for an event called Music for Hope. All the proceeds of Music for Hope go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So that's August 15th in Carlton. So hope lots of people can come out, enjoy the music. It's an all-day event, several different bands playing, but for a great cause.
So Mr. Jake, I'm going to ask you the hardest question of the night.
Oh, boy.
Looking back, what Jake Blair Band performance stands out most and especially memorable for your band?
Boy, that's a really tough one. I mean, definitely the Waterfront Blues Festival was a huge one. It was my first time playing there. A huge crowd. Everybody was feeling it. Not to mention, my outfit that day. I had some really killer bright yellow polyester pants. And a yellow and green shirt. I looked like a banana up there. So that was cool. But, I try to make every performance the best one. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Nothing like a performer, for sure. Well, gentlemen, Mr. Jake Blair, John Chinberg, and Dennis Harris, it's been my honor and Michael's honor to interview you gentlemen and listen to you play here live at KBOO Radio. And we really thought you guys deserved a good shot here tonight. So what do you say?
It's just such a pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
It was great having you, and always great to see you, Jake.
Likewise.
All right, gentlemen, that's it for us, so I'm going to move on. You're listening to community-supported KBOO Portland since 1968 at 90.7 FM, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, and streaming online at kboo.fm/listen-now. As a listener-supported nonprofit, it's our members who keep us on the air with your ongoing donations. So please continue to support us by going to kboo.com/donate or text KBOO to 44321 to donate now. If you've enjoyed this broadcast of Portland Music Insider, do reach out to KBOO by phone, email, or other means to let them know that you enjoyed this program and would like it to continue. Remember, KBOO is a listener-supported station, and your membership donation directly helps keep independent radio like KBOO on the air. Donate online at kboo.fm/donate.
Portland, Oregon has long been a crucible of musical creativity, nurturing talented musicians who have shaped the city's sonic landscape for decades. From intimate jazz clubs to thunderous rock venues, the Rose City has consistently produced remarkable artists who have defined local and national music scenes. Legendary performers have emerged from Portland's diverse neighborhoods, creating a rich tapestry of musical expression that resonates far beyond the city limits. The city's musical heritage runs deep, with musicians like Esperanza Spalding, a jazz prodigy who emerged from Portland's vibrant jazz community, setting international standards. Her groundbreaking albums like Radio Music Society and performances at venues such as Jimmy Mack's, now sadly closed, exemplify the city's commitment to musical excellence. Portland's musical infrastructure has been instrumental in supporting local talent. Iconic venues like the Crystal Ballroom, established in 1914, have hosted generations of musicians across multiple genres. Moreover, spaces like Doug Fir Lounge and Mississippi Studios have become legendary platforms for both emerging and established artists. Particularly notable are the city's blues and rock scenes. Bands like Portland's own Cherry Poppin' Daddies, known for their hit Zoot Suit Riot, have represented the city's musical diversity. Their energetic performances at venues like the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, OMSI, during the late 1990s and early 2000s showcased Portland's unique musical spirit.